Some Democratic lawmakers are raising questions about cryptocurrency and the war in Ukraine. There are concerns that Russia could benefit from crypto as it looks for a way around economic sanctions imposed by the U.S. and its European allies. Meanwhile, millions of dollars in cryptocurrency is moving into Ukraine to support its effort to repel the Russian invasion. Robin Farzad is host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure, and he joins us now. Robin, good to have you.
Hi, Anthony.
Hi there. Can you first explain the Russian side of this? What do we know about how Russia could use or is using cryptocurrency?
Think about it if you're Russia right now. The entire system is kind of collapsing around you. These banks are failing, banks that were massive and were liquid and had tens of billions of dollars of market capitalization a few weeks ago are now worthless in some cases and cut off increasingly from the international system. So if you're a wealthy person in Russia, if you're a kleptocrat, if you're a plutocrat, whatever you want to call it, a Putincrat, and you want to quickly move money, especially while the ruble and the stock market there are collapsing, and you want a fungible asset that can move easily. I mean, if you have vacation homes, if you're in London, if you're in Miami, crypto is a great alternative, albeit one that is volatile by itself. It's not like it is necessarily stable in its value.
Interesting. All right. So what about ordinary Russians? Can they turn to cryptocurrency since the value of the ruble has taken such a dive?
They can. Because the system is decentralized, it is peer-to-peer. In that interest, though, it's not about hiding assets ahead of asset forfeiture or money laundering. It's just self-preservation. And I think that's really in the spirit of what cryptocurrency was. It's supposed to be immune from government fiat or expropriation or retaliation from foreign governments that the complaint was they had too much control over currencies and individual autonomy. So I think in that case, it would work as well. But the same problem is the volatility. What if you see, you put it in and you exchange your rubles for it and the value of the Bitcoin or Ethereum, whatever, falls 10% in one day? It's less than ideal.
I see. So we mentioned concerns about from some Democratic lawmakers. This week, a few of them asked Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen to explain how she can make sure that cryptocurrency companies are abiding by sanctions. Is there a way to do that?
There is a way to do that because, after all, the money just doesn't stay in crypto in perpetuity. You need on-ramps and off-ramps, and that's where the decentralized, somewhat anonymous system has to connect back to the kind of the SWIFT banks where you have hyper levels of transparency. And having said all that, it's not like crypto itself. You're talking about a ledger, a blockchain, which keeps kind of a maniacal amount of data about people. It's not that hard for the United States and London and Interpol and the others to see who's getting on and off these currencies. And finally, it's not as advanced enough to replace the entire banking system. It is large, about a $2 trillion system, but the global banking system is multiples that size.
Interesting. So about 10 seconds left or so, but what has the cryptocurrency industry said about this? I mean, are they willing to play along and do what's necessary, do what these Democratic lawmakers would like?
They would love to play both sides. They would like to say, look, we're not here trying to get out of our way to support Putin and this war, but we're also helping average Ukrainians. You're seeing punk bands support the cause there. If you shut us down for one people, you're going to shut us down for everyone. And that's just kind of cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Really interesting. Robin, thanks so much for helping us understand all this a little bit better. That's Robin Farzad. He is host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.